today on Real Radio.
When you come to Christ, listen, all of his promises, tomorrow's issues, today, this afternoon's challenges, don't worry, be confident. You can be rest assured God's word and promises will pacify you through this life. Guaranteed.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Thank You, God, part 3 continues in the book of Philippians chapter 1 with verses 1 through 7. Paul wrote this epistle to the church at Philippi during his imprisonment in Rome. Even though Paul was in chains, joy filled his heart because he was rooted in God. He gave every detail of his life over to the Lord. Paul's fear, doubt, and feelings of unworthiness were swept away when he stood on this truth, that whatever work God has started in our lives, he will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. Today, Pastor Jack describes the benefits of God's grace and how he is faithful in keeping his word. Christ justified us by dying on the cross for our salvation. He sanctified us for his purposes to do his good will. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The Bible says, if you believe that God, if Jesus Christ died on the cross and that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Amen. A lot of people struggle with that. So having said that, there are certain things that God is trying to communicate, I believe, to us in nature, for example, of his faithfulness. All of this science that's out there, and I'm talking about real science. I'm not talking about bozo science. Bozo science is what people make up regarding science that don't believe in God. And it makes me laugh. They go ahead and they try to describe all of their evolutionary theories and stuff, but they always, always go to personal pronouns, for example, about evolution. Well, you know, Mother Nature did this. You can't do that if you're an evolutionist. You can't throw Mother Nature into that because Mother Nature had a father, and his name is the Lord. And listen, you can't say to me, well, you just have to believe this stuff. It all just came from a primordial goop. No, you know, I don't have that kind of faith. That's too much. No, here's the deal. God has shown us, for example, through real science, that the works of his hands can be depended upon. Why? Because, for example, gravity. Listen, not only is gravity a fact, but even if you defy gravity, there's things that God has engineered that another fact overrides that fact. If you begin to float because your airplane's going straight down, the laws of God's physics is still in effect. You can depend upon his laws. God sends us these messages that we might get to know him better, to depend upon his word or depend upon his faithfulness. He's amazing. Listen, tomorrow morning I got to get on an airplane. I guarantee you, I've been on airplanes all my life. Here's the deal. The pilot is not going to say, welcome aboard. And we're going to take this bucket of bolts out to the runway in a minute. And I'm just going to put full throttle on this baby. And I'm going to hope it gets up off the ground by the time we reach the end. And if we don't, we just don't know what's going to happen. You know, it's random chance. No, they don't say that, do they? And you say, well, you know... No, they don't do that. In fact, before the plane even takes off, the pilot says, hey, ladies and gentlemen, the weather at your destination is thus and so. And they'll even say, we're going to be landing at 32 minutes after 9 o'clock in your destination. Why? Because the pilot is totally counting on getting to the destination. Why? How can he be so sure? Because he knows something you don't know. He knows that the moment that that plane's thrust and lift override the weight and drag, that wing's going to take off. And if the wing takes off, the rest of the plane takes off. Aren't you glad? He knows laws that are in effect that cause him to be confident. And God is saying, look at that, would you guys? He's saying, look at that stuff. I'm trying to tell you something. Just like you guys enjoy natural law, I'm the God of natural law, and I'll keep my word. He's going to do this. He is going to perform that. Being confident. The word confident means this. Mark it down if you care to. It means to be absolutely convinced, to be pacified. I like that. To be given enough answers to whereby you go, yep, sold. I'm getting on. When you get on that airplane, you're sold. When you come to Christ, listen, all of his promises, tomorrow's issues, today, this afternoon's challenges, don't worry. Be confident. You can be rest assured God's word and promises will pacify you through this life. Guaranteed. That word goes on to mean this, that having discussed, thought, meditated upon, you have now experienced it to be true. I love this. Be confident. What does that mean? You step out, God has always been there for us. Being confident. Robert Gramacki in his commentary points this out. We are to be rest assured, at ease, letting God do the work. This confidence in God's ability is the settled persuasion of the mind affecting both the thought and action of who we are. Don't you like? I love that. Confidence, assurance, persuasion. Here's a great verse before we go to the second consideration. 1 John 5:13. This is awesome. You got to write this down. This is big time stuff. I told you before, I'm not big into tattoos, but this would be a great one. 1 John 5:13, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Do you? Well, what's the result? That you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Wow. Oh, that's confidence. That is confidence. Number two, thank you, God, for all that you've promised us is this, that he, God, will deal with the details of our lives. Aren't you glad about that? He's going to deal with the details. He's doing it right now, and he's going to do it. Of this very thing. You can be confident of what? Of this very thing. The Lord will not only take care of all of the details of our lives, church, but he will take care of the particulars, most definitely our salvation. Not only our salvation, but he's going to take care of the fact that he's going to get you through. Watch this, everybody. If you're a Christian today, you are not going to die uncompleted so long as we yield to the Lord. Now, look, we can die as a Christian and wind up going to heaven, but be rebelling against God. We can be resisting God. God may be telling you to do this and you don't do it. Maybe fear overtakes you or whatever it might be and you never live up to what God had engineered for your life. And that'd be sad that you'd miss out on all that because God wants to live his life through you. It's an exciting life. It's a rewarding life. It's the life that he's intended for you. You can shortchange that. You don't want to do that though. The truth of the matter is though, if you let God be God, every detail that he's engineered for you, he's going to complete in your life. Isn't that your big prayer? It's my prayer. My prayer is this. God, don't let me disqualify myself. Pastor Chuck Smith used to always say this, and it's part of my private prayer life, is Lord God, keep me usable. Don't let me mess up. Well, look, will I go to heaven if I mess up? Yeah. But I don't want to go to heaven with all that kind of junk. I want to go to heaven like you do. Like confident. Excited. Being well-worn for God. I don't want to rust out for God. I don't want to burn out for God. I want to wear out for God. I want the inside of my personal growth in Jesus to reach the same conclusion that pulls into the same station at the same time of my death. That my body can no longer handle the growth of my spirit and my body's got to go because the inward man's got to go. I want to grow. In all of that process, he's going to take care of the details of life. Our God deals in specifics and particulars, and I'm grateful about that. You think about, and I'll just run through this quickly, you think of Psalm 8. You can mark this down, verses 1 and 3. Listen to this. He's trying to tell us something. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. That's a big deal. Verse 3 goes on to say, when I consider your heavens, watch, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained. What is the psalmist trying to get us to understand? God, if you're faithful to Jupiter and the stars and Venus and the moon and earth, how much more will you be confident, or I can be confident, I should say, in you? The next time you see the moon hanging out there, or you see the sunrise or the sunset, know this. It's a message. God is speaking in the heavens. What is he saying? I'm going to be faithful. Just like I raised that sun and I set that sun, I'm going to be faithful to do what I've ordained in your life. Be confident of that. Don't wake up in the morning, oh, what's going to happen? I'm a Christian. I'm a child of the living God. I'm terrified to get out of bed. No. God, it's a crazy day. I don't know what's going to happen. If you don't bless my life, I won't even be able to make it to the bathroom. Help me now, oh God. And listen, as soon as I get out of this bed, I'm committing the whole thing into your hands. So God, here we go. And you get up from that moment and that's it. Well, you know what happens? Hey, it doesn't matter what happens. He's God, he's in control. Next time you have doubts, look at the moon. Look at the sun and its strength and say, wait a minute. He's been hanging that thing in the sky for a long time. He can take care of me. In Matthew 6:25, Jesus really nailed us because he just unveiled our hearts. In Matthew 6:25, Jesus says, therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life. You know, he said this 21 centuries ago. If it was just a mere human being speaking, you could write it off. This is God in human skin saying, don't worry about your life. Why? Because he knew that we would be here right now in the 21st century. And he's saying, don't worry. The world is worrying. The world is medicated because of worry. What you will eat or what you will drink or about your body, what you will put on, is not life more than food and body and more than clothing? Yeah, it is, but not if you're in Hollywood asking that question. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? You ever see birds worrying? They're over in the corner of your yard throwing up because they have ulcers. Cheep, cheep, bloop. Cheep, cheep, bloop. They're all worried sick. No, they're not. No. Which of you by worrying can add a cubit to your stature, to your height? So why do you worry about your clothing? Or consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet, I say to you, even Solomon, all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? What do you think the answer to that is? Why do we worry then? And I find it fantastic, even in worrying, God proves us wrong. 99.9% of the stuff you worry about never happens. It just robs you of the Bible. It robs me of joy. It robs me of peace. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, now hope, that is, by the way, you can't have hope unless it's based on a promise, does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. This is an awesome promise. God's going to keep his promise to you, my friend. He's not going to fail. He will see you all the way through and be faithful. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, one of the most popular verses for good reason in all of the Bible. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You need to hear that. No more unworthiness. No more overwhelming sense of fear. Stop going through this insecurity. Put your faith in God and be bold. Why? Because there's now officially declared by God no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So watch this. It comes down to this. Are you a Christian? You say yes, but you're worrying and fretting. Then listen, you need to stop it now and repent because it's a sin and trust God. Charles Spurgeon says, when we worry, we're putting faith in the devil. Great word, huh? Put your faith in God. And you'll know it. If you do that, you'll know it because you'll stand up and you'll be bold. Not in you. You'll be bold in him. Amen. Why? Because faithful is he who's called you. There's no condemnation in him. The judgment's been removed from you. It's not going to happen. Third, under this argument today that we're looking at, is we can thank God for all of his promises that he's made to you, made to us, because this is that he will start and finish the work. God will start and finish the work. This is, to me, very encouraging. Because of where you or I may be in our walk right now, ask yourself this question. Look what it says in this verse. It says that he who has begun a good work in you, stop right there. Watch this. This gets fun. It's technical, but it's a lot of fun. God's going to start and finish the work that he has to do. I leaned on it a moment ago. I want to bring this to your attention again. If you're a Christian and you want to be a little stinker about it, you're not going to shake God. What do you think the message that was being sent with Jonah? Jonah was willing to commit suicide rather than obey God. Was he not? He told the guys in the ship, just throw me over. My God's upset with me. He has a job for me to do. I don't want to do it. So he tells the sailors, throw me over. I'll die. He wants to commit suicide. But the sailors didn't want to commit murder. So they said, no way. Eventually, finally, it's a sad story. They went against their own desires and they wound up asking God to forgive them as they threw this knucklehead overboard. What was God telling him? What was God telling us? God's committed to finishing the work that he's placed upon your life. Imagine you, from this moment on, walking around this life of yours, this world. And over you, a caption? You know those little cartoon thingies? There's a caption sign over your head. And it's God's plan for you. And yours is completely different than everybody else's on the planet. It's tailor-made, tailor-created by God for you. This is your life. This is what it's supposed to be. In that, he has started a work and he's going to complete that work. Our job is to do what the Bible has so often told us, not our will be done, but his will be done. And God will do this. Now, this is fun. Look at your Bible. This he who is structured in a way that demands three questions. This is a very wonderful thing to find out in Bible study. That he who has begun a good work in you demands three questions from the student of the Bible. It's this. Who did it? Mark it down. Who did it? Number two, what was done? And number three, where did it happen? That's all bound up in this statement in the original language. That he who has begun a good work in you. So watch. Who did it? Answer, write it down. Who did it? God did it. So God does it. You didn't save yourself. You didn't even think a righteous thought about God. God did it. God began to flirt with your life. He began to woo you, as the old Puritans used to say, into the family of God, to think thoughts of God. So who did it? God did it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians 1, 4 says, just as he chose us in him, that's Jesus, before the foundation of the world. Wow. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Church, mark that down. Look, am I holy and without blame in front of you? No, you're not holy and without blame in front of me. Why? Because we see on the human side things, right? God doesn't see you. Remember being dipped and brought up in the righteousness of Christ? This is how God sees you. From the foundations of the world, he knew that you would accept Christ. He knew before time ever began that you'd become a believer. He knew that. So he doesn't learn anything. Verse 5 of Ephesians 1, having predestined us to adoption as sons, how? By Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God starts it and God will finish it. So who did it? Answer, God did it. Look at the next question. What was done? It's that he has begun a good work. So what was done? A good work. This is referring to the benefits of the atonement of Christ. That's what it means. If you were taking a Bible class, that's the answer. What's the good work? The benefits of the cross. The benefits of Jesus' sacrifice. God did it. How did he do it? Jesus is how he did it. Three things under this consideration. He, God, justified us at the cross. Justified us. Secondly, God sanctified us for his purposes. And thirdly, he glorified us for his presence. Think of that for a moment. Justified us at the cross, sanctified us for his purposes, and glorified us before his presence. Right now, though you're sitting here and you've got your dress on or your pants on, you've got your shirt on, whatever you're, listen, before God, you are not wearing what you're wearing here at church. You and I relate to each other like this right now. Oh, he's wearing a purple shirt. Listen, I am not wearing a purple shirt in front of God. I'm wearing a Jesus shirt in front of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 tells us, oh boy, listen, if you're here today and you're a Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, Adventist, your faith relationship to your God or gods is based upon your works. Well, listen to Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is it a gift of God. Not of what? Works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship. This is where we get the word poem. God writes this poem, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Did you see that? This is good news. Because God writes the story of your life. He's got it packaged for you. You can't experience salvation or live that life by your own duty, by your own works. He does it by what he's done, and he'll start it and he'll finish it. What you are to do, what I am to do, is comply with his will. Yield to him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, notice that, Paul is recognizing their obedience, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, that you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Pastor, it says there, work out your own salvation with fear. That's not what it means. The word means to yield completely, die to yourself, end your own effort, and let God do the doing. You are to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling means that you are to stand before the presence of God, and he is to live that out through you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Thank You, God. And thank you for listening. God guarantees his promises, and he is faithful in answering the cries of our hearts. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Have you ever thought to yourself, boy, I'd love to get a hold of Pastor Jack and tell him what I think of the radio program? Why don't you do that? Go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Elizabeth writes, I am a Messianic Jew who came to the Lord almost 30 years ago. Since then, I became disabled. I lost my faith along that depressing path. I needed to listen to someone who truly had the Spirit of the Lord in him, and I found that with Pastor Hibbs. Since I'm disabled, it's hard for me to get to church. I began to follow Pastor Hibbs online. I've seen the majority of his videos on YouTube and on the Real Life site as well. Like Pastor Hibbs, I too believe in studying prophecy and the importance of it. Elizabeth goes on to say, please tell Pastor Hibbs I truly thank him for guiding me back into the fold of Yeshua. I actually bowed my head on one of the invitations and confirmed my love for Yeshua. Thank you, Elizabeth, for sending that in. That's awesome. If you'd like to get a hold of us and say hello to Pastor Jack and share your thoughts, just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, should you ever need it, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.